Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
Chris Batchelder is a frequent contributor to McSweeney's Quarterly Concern and The Believer. He's also a novelist. One of his novels is called U.S. The central character is Upton Sinclair, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author. Sinclair's best known for his 1906 novel, The Jungle, an expose of the U.S. meatpacking industry. The book helped lead to the passage of the Pure Food and Drug Act and the Meat Inspection Act. Batchelder talked to Anne Strangechamps about his novel, U.S.
The premise of the novel is that muckraker Upton Sinclair, real-life muckraker Upton Sinclair, author of The Jungle and roughly 90 other books, he died in 1968, but the premise of the book is that he's continually, serially resurrected by hopeful leftists and then subsequently assassinated by fame-seeking assassins, and this happens over and over.
Poor Upton Sinclair.
I know.
After a while,
I know.
You begin to have some sympathy for him.
Yeah, the old man. Yep.
Would you read a bit just from the very beginning to give us a taste? This is a scene in which Upton has just been resurrected for the umpteenth time.
Okay, sure. Despite the ugly red smile across his throat and the small black hole in his temple, he looked peaceful. I felt guilty and silly for bringing him back in cold December. Our intentions were good, I still believe that, but they were hardly pure. Some of our political anger had to do with missing the 60s, feeling cheated by history. We had been tying knots with the Boy Scouts during the love-ins and demonstrations, and by the time we joined the cause, there was no more nudity or tear gas. It is true that we wanted to be class heroes, that we hoped to get laid by our beautiful, serious, kerchiefed comrades. We longed for the revolution, but we also longed to hold these girls in the night and breathe in their strong, unwashed scent and to confess to them our fears in such a way that made us seem stronger and less vulnerable. They were hairy and sexually frank and brimming with political theory, the history of ideas. They were profane, tough-minded egalitarians with delicate fingers and long necks. Tony, I said, maybe this is wrong. What? We should turn around. What are you talking about? I think maybe we should put him back. And it was then, as if at the prospect of leaving this troubled world and returning to the grave, that Sinclair began stirring beside me. Tony said, we're not putting him back. Wait, I said, hold it. I think he's living. Tony turned around to look in the back seat, and the Valiant veered onto the washboard grid of the shoulder. Upton began twitching and jerking, lightly at first, but then violently. We had not read or heard anything about this. Tony said, what's going on? Make him stop that. I put my hand on Upton's shoulder and his convulsions just grew worse. I was afraid his bones would break. Sir, I said, Mr. Sinclair. His eyes rolled in his head. He pulled his arms up to his chest. His fingers, 9 I noticed, were spread out and curled arthritically. It was a difficult birth. It looked every bit as bad as dying. Mr. Sinclair, I said, it's okay. You're with friends.
Wow. That's a startling beginning. What does Upton say once he kind of wakes up?
Well, he wants to know, you know, is this a prank? Why have you brought me back? You know, it doesn't take him long to get pretty excited about writing the next book or joining the next cause or getting things rolling again.
So each time he comes back, does he know what's happened? Is it like, oh, yeah, this again?
Yeah, I think he has a sense of it. There actually aren't many death scenes or and many resurrection scenes in the novel. I just wanted to establish the premise.
So why Upton Sinclair is the subject of a novel? He's a guy most of us, if we remember anything at all about him, sort of vaguely remember maybe something about him in a high school class on muckrakers.
Right. I was interested in what would happen to dramatize certain anachronistic values and aims, artistic goals, put them in our contemporary setting and see what sort of comic tragedy or tragic comedy I could derive from that. And I was interested in bringing back notions of the political novel, questions about the political novel. This is pretty much extinct in American letters from 100 years ago from the jungle. And so I wanted to bring back questions about the limitations, but also the possibilities of political art in the kind of vein of Upton and other muckrakers. So that's a resurrection of sorts. at the level of ideas. And then Upton was just a good vehicle for that because, you know, as you said, people might vaguely remember him. He's one of the more famous or infamous figures from that time writing in that style. And so I didn't have to completely start from scratch. I could rely on perhaps some vague notion of who he was. So I wanted to bring him back. And then the more I learned about him when I read his work and read about him, he was the perfect figure to do this in a way, too, because in his life he was so tireless, so indefatigable. You know, he couldn't be killed off. He just kept coming back in his life. So it made sense, you know, that he would keep coming back even after his death.
But you said you got interested in Upton Sinclair partly because you were thinking that the political novel, certainly the sort of political novel that Sinclair wrote, is really, really dead right now. In what way?
Well, you just don't see this kind of really straightforward, documentary, hyper-realist novel. You don't see the exclamation points, for instance, that he employed, his passion, his sincerity, his authenticity. I mean, we live in a more ironic, definitely a more ironic literary age. But also we live in an age that values complexity and mystery and ambiguity and ambivalence a lot more. And Sinclair's novels were none of that. He had a point to make. He wasn't about art for art's sake. He said the proletarian writer is a writer with a purpose, and he doesn't think about art for art's sake any more than a man on a sinking ship would be painting a pretty picture in his cabin. That sort of crusading artist, I think, is a thing of the past.
And is that a shame, or is that just the way things go? I mean, Sinclair's novels, you look back, they seem sort of silly.
Right. They don't hold up well at all. There are parts of The Jungle that are poignant and beautiful and touching. The opening chapter is really good. It's the best thing he ever wrote. Even though that's his most famous book, it doesn't hold up well. The end is a disaster. He knew that. He was writing for serial publication, and he didn't get it right, and he knew it. And there's a couple other books that are good, but yeah, most of his writing doesn't hold up. But part of this is about shifting criteria of what makes a novel and what makes a novel good. You know, at the time he wrote The Jungle, Bertolt Brecht, George Bernard Shaw, Charlotte Perkins Gilman, Winston Churchill, people really praised the novel and thought it was very powerful. So I think some of it is a question of how did a good novel become bad, and has to do with shifting literary criteria. But no, it doesn't hold up well. You asked, is it a shame that it's gone? That's the animating question of the novel. I thought I was onto something because I was genuinely confused by this question. And whereas my first novel was not very questing in that way, this book grew out of a serious question about political art. How can it be done? You can't not do it, but how do you do it? Mm-hmm. You know. So I have real ambivalence in the book toward this kind of art and toward Sinclair.
One of the things you do in the book, the first half of it pretty much, a scrapbook. Maybe you should describe the Resurrection scrapbook, sort of what the components are.
There is a transcript from a toll-free hotline if you see Sinclair and you want to report him so he can be found, perhaps shot. And there's an eBay listing.
In a way, you're sort of showing us what we've got in our culture instead of instead of novels. I wondered if you'd read just a few of some of those sections. There's a wonderful bit, just overheard people's voices as they're standing in line at an Upton Sinclair museum.
Okay, so this is called Comments Overheard in the MUSA Ticket Line, which, excuse me, sir, begins over there. Historically, socialism has only worked in very cold places. Last time, the security guard let Joey touch his gun. No, with communism, everyone lives in the same small apartment. The building really is amazing. I didn't realize he wrote books, too. I just thought he got shot. But that's the great thing about America. The thing is, he's not even a politician or an economist. He's a writer. We've started the Atkins. No, I think he should be able to say it. I do think he should be able to say it. I'm sorry, I've worked hard for my gas grill. I haven't been back since they re-enhanced the bloody clothing. So because there is a finger in your sausage, that means capitalism is bad? It's capitalism's fault that the hot dog has rat and bleach in it? That's what I don't get. Well, see, that's America. Honey, can you hear me? Can you? You'll never guess where I am.
So maybe this is the way you have to do political writing these days. I mean, I don't think you can do it the way Upton Sinclair did it.
Yeah, I think you have to be more sly. But again, it's like how much of this is a capitulation to something you don't want to capitulate to, which is an entertainment culture and a culture of non sequitur. That's the problem and the question. I think there are ways to do it in a more straightforward way But you have to be careful about being tendentious, being preachy. These are all the reasons that people reject the idea that you can write straightforward political novels, that it reads like a pamphlet, that it doesn't read like art.
Chris Batchelder is the author of U.S. He spoke with Anne Strangechamps. And this is music from the soundtrack of There Will Be Blood, the 2007 film that's loosely based on Upton Sinclair's novel, Oil.